إلا الله ما لنا رب سوى.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. This is the fifth lecture on Prophet Abraham, the founder of Islam. We've been discussing different senses in which the term Islam has been used in the Quran, and tonight, inshallah, we want to explain few verses from Surah Baqarah, Ali Imran, and An'am, inshallah, if we get chance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah, verse 111 and 112, says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. وقالوا لن يدخل الجنة إلا من كان هودا أو نصارى تلك أمانيهم قل هاتوا برهانكم إن كنتم صادقين. A general question for people who follow religion is, what I gain if I follow this religion? Normally, people are after some kind of benefits. For most of people, to follow the truth is not enough. They look for something else. What I'm going to gain? For those who are truthful, just the fact that something is true is enough. So, one thing that normally religions promise to such people is that you will gain access to heaven. By following us, you can get pass to heaven. But for some people, even this is not enough. Because they say, okay, by following this, I can get pass to heaven. But what if I don't follow you? Maybe I can still get pass to heaven. So this is when many religions become exclusive. So they say, yes, by following us, you get pass to heaven. And this is the only way. So don't think of going anywhere else. It's only when you follow us that you get pass to heaven. So the Quran says the Jews used to say that the only way to go to heaven is to be a Jew. And the Christians said the only way to get to heaven is to be a Christian. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. So there's a kind of first guaranteed access to heaven, and second, a kind of monopoly. Allah says, "Tilka amaniyuhum." This is not true claim. This is their own false desire and wishes. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If this is true, you must be able to show. You must be able to argue for it, to prove it. If you don't have any argument for this, then there's a problem. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's not a matter of which religion you follow, to which community you belong, which title you have. Titles are not important. Belonging to different communities is not important as such. بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The criterion is to be submissive to God. Whoever submits his face towards God, he is following the will of God. He's trying to please God. أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ. You know, when you want to show attention and respect to someone, you show it with your face. If your entire body is facing someone, but only your face is somewhere else, this doesn't show respect. So this is why face is important. مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ. So it's kind of symbolic expression of showing maximum respect and attention and submission to God. وَهُوَ مُحْسَنُونَ. And therefore, this type of attitude would affect your practice, your behavior. You cannot face God, you cannot face light, and then remain in darkness. You cannot face God and do actions of those who are infidels, faithless. وَهُوَ مُحْسِن. This is a confirmation. I don't think this is a kind of condition. This is a kind of confirmation of you have really submitted yourself to God. فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. He has his reward with his Lord. It means that he can get also access to heaven, because the reward is not possible to be given 100% in dunya. In dunya, there is no enough capacity for rewarding such people. What are you going to give them? You want to give them money, you want to give them fame and reputation, you want to give them house. This is not reward for submission to the truth. The reward can be only given in the hereafter. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They have no fear, no reason for sadness. This is something that in the classes on Al-Mizan we have talked about this. What does it mean, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ? It means there is no fear at all, or it means that they shouldn't have any fear. There is no need for fear, although they have fear and they are justified in having fear. These are two separate things. So, one particular fear that they don't need to have is fear about those titles. Because some people said, without having this title, you cannot go to heaven. Unless you are a Jew or a Christian, you cannot go to heaven. This was what they used to say. So, if you have submission to God, and if you act properly, la khawfun alayhim, there is no fear about the hereafter. Don't worry about these titles. And if you have these titles and you don't have this submission, nothing is going to help you. So the main thing is مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ فَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. And this is why I used to say, and I keep saying, that the most fundamental thing is this submission to God, submission to truth. Whether a person is a Muslim or Christian or Jew, if he has this quality, he is very close to God. Of course, he has to stretch himself to find the best way, the best path. But if this quality is not there and you are on the right path theoretically, but practically you are away. If you follow the best message, but you haven't achieved this quality of submission, so you are not really successful. You have not achieved that much. وَقَالَتَ الْيَهُودُ لَيْسَتَ النَّصَارَى عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَقَالَتَ النَّصَارَى لَيْسَتَ الْيَهُودُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Because there was a kind of competition and rivalry, and as I said, everyone needed to back up himself and his faith by saying we have only, you know, the only and the single access to heaven. The Jews, Allah says, used to say, that Christians have nothing. ليست النصارى على شيء means their hands are empty. They don't have any truth, anything to be proud of. وقالت النصارى ليست اليهود على شيء. And the Christians said the same about the Jews. Maybe this is not what every Christian and Jew is saying, you know, today, but this is at least true about that time and perhaps some people today. وَهُمْ يَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ But what is surprising is that they used to say this while both of them were following a divine book. When you follow a divine book, when you share great part of prophecies and revelations, how can you say to each other that you have nothing? Because many things are in common. If you question your fellow believer in divine books, then you are questioning your own faith. You know, if for example today Muslims say to Christian that you have nothing, then what about those things which are common? So it means that you have said that those are not important. So the faith in God is nothing important. Or if, for example, Sunnis and Shias say to each other that you have nothing, so what about those many things that we have in common? Why our sense of rivalry, our sense of competition should make us blind so that we cannot see those great things that we share? وَهُمْ يَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ كَذَلِكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ Perhaps, if I am not mistaken, this is the way I understand. Perhaps Allah wants to say, this is what the people who had no knowledge, no book, used to say. كَذَلِكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ You are the people of the book, with all the knowledge that you have, with all the information that you have, when you say such things about each other, what about those people who are neither Jews and Christians, like the pagans? So they would then say, okay, Jews say Christians are nothing, Christians say Jews are nothing, we say both of you are nothing. So they can take advantage. This is the problem also today in the world. One of the greatest arguments for those who promote secularism and atheism is they say, look, we always have problem of religious people. They fight each other, they spread hatred, conflict. If you want a world free from troubles, if you want peace, you have to get rid of religions. They are not listening to which religion is correct, which religious claim is correct, whether this is religion or this is extremism. No, they want to use our conflicts as an argument to get rid of all of us. For them, Muslims, Christians, Jews, all are to be left aside. So Allah says, when Jews and Christians say these things about each other, this is like what the people who have no book, no knowledge of religion would say. فَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي مَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will judge about these issues of difference, these issues of disagreement. Allah is going to say who is right, who is wrong, to what extent you are right, to what extent you are wrong. You should not say, I am 100% right and you are 100% wrong. Allah is going to judge. فَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي مَا كَانُوا فِي يَخْتَلِفُونَ Perhaps one reason Allah doesn't judge in dunya is because it's not very easy. It's not something that you can say it in one line or two lines or three lines. It needs very detailed account of all the differences and which community is right in this position, which community is wrong, it's very difficult. But this judgment is going to take place. What we need is that submission to the truth. Okay, this verse, بَلَى مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Verse 112 of Surah Baqarah has something similar in Surah Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Those who have faith and do righteous deeds, soon we will let them enter heaven's gardens, paradise, beneath which rivers flow. They will be there forever. وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقًّا. This is the promise of Allah, which is true. And who is more truthful than Allah in His words? وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلَ لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Allah is telling this also to Muslims. In the previous passage, Allah was saying, this is not according to the desire of the people of the book. Who is going to heaven, who is not going to heaven. Here Allah says, it is not also according to your desire. لَيْسَ بَأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيَّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. It's not a matter of what you desire. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. Whoever does something bad will be seeing the result in kind of punishment. وَلَا يَجَدُ لَهُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. There would be no guardian and no helper for him. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. And those who do righteous deeds, whether they are men or women, and they are believers. This is one of the verses which show that عمل صالح can be performed even by those who are not mu'min. But if they are mu'min, they can hope for heaven. But if they are not mu'min and they do amal salih, then they cannot have hope for iman, but their amal still is not useless. This needs a discussion, and in the course on ethics, you know, we discuss this normally. So Allah says, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. So it means that you can do salihat without iman. Or elsewhere Allah says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. So if you do good actions and you have iman, you have faith, then inshallah you go to heaven. But if you do amal salih, good actions with good intention, there is husna fa'ali, but no iman, still there is benefit. Still it's better than not doing this. Like helping poor people for the sake of sympathy, for the sake of altruism. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. The similar concept. أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. Who is better in his religion? Who has better religion, better faith than someone who submits himself to God and he is a benefactor? He's a good doer. He's a muhsin. There is a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Durrul Mansur, which says that muhsin is the person who worships Allah as if he is seeing. The hadith says, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. If you worship Allah as if you are seeing God, or if you are not seeing God, at least you know that God is watching you, then your action would be very nice. You will be doing good things. This is ihsan. So Allah says, who is better in religion? Means no one is better. This is a question for negation, istifhama inkari. Who is better in religion than someone who submits himself to God while he is a benefactor? وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. This is added to the ayah in Surah Baqarah, not because this is a condition. I think this is a sign. It's not that you need to submit yourself to God and be a muhsin and be a follower of Ibrahim. This is not a third thing. This is the path of Ibrahim, to submit yourself to God and do good things. This is what taba'a millata Ibrahim hanifa. It's the other side of the same coin, because Ibrahim was a person who was submissive to God, as we explained before. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So we have one religion which is the best, which is pleasing Allah, and that is the religion of Ibrahim, and that is to submit yourself to God and try to do the best actions. This is the main thing. If you want to be pleased with the titles, this is not going to solve the problem, and it would always keep us divided. But if you go for the core, which is submission to God and trying to be pious, then many differences, many disagreements will be gradually disappearing. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose and adopted Ibrahim as his friend. We had a series here, alhamdulillah, about human relations in the Quran, and we talked about the concept of Khalil, if you remember. And we mentioned why Ibrahim was chosen as a Khalil. There are many things in our hadith, and for example, one reason is that because Ibrahim never asked anyone other than Allah for help, but at the same time, he never said no to people who asked him for help. This is very important. You are reluctant to ask for help, but you are fast and quick in helping people. You shouldn't say, I am not asking anyone, you should also not ask anyone. No. As a lover of Allah, you help people, but you not yourself, you know, ask people. There are beautiful hadith, I don't want to repeat. Maybe the reason that Allah has mentioned this here is, let me read the verse again and see what is the connection. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Maybe the reason for mentioning this fact here is to encourage people to follow Ibrahim. If you love Allah, for sure you want to be close to whom? To the friend of Allah. Not the friend who claims to be a friend. You know, many of people, many of us, we may think that we are friends of God. But this can be true, this can be false. But even if it is true, still we are friend of God. And this is much more different from Allah saying to someone that you are my friend. You know, sometimes I want to be friend with someone, but maybe that person is not showing friendship to me. I respect him, I love him, I admire him, but not maybe He is the same with me. When Allah says Ibrahim is my friend, it's a great position. So if you want to submit yourself to God, you have to also have good relation with Ibrahim. You have to love Ibrahim. You have to respect Ibrahim. And you have to understand that one way to get close to Allah is to get close to Ibrahim and do what Ibrahim does. If you remember in those lectures, I also mentioned that one aspect of this is that Allah made Ibrahim responsible for his house. And then Allah said, call people for Hajj. Because a friend can invite on behalf of you the people to come to your house. This is what a friend can do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the best religion. The religion of Ibrahim, the religion of submitting yourself to God, the religion of Hanif, which means to turn away from falsehood and go towards the truth. The last ayah for tonight is Surah An'am, verse 14. Surah An'am, verse 14. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَتَّخِذُ وَلِيًّا فاطر السماوات والأرض وهو يطعم ولا يطعم. Tell them, shall I take anyone other than Allah as my guardian? Do you expect me to take someone other than Allah as my guardian, as my wali? Who is Allah? فاطر السماوات والأرض. This فاطر السماوات والأرض is adjective for Allah. أغير الله أتخذ وليا فاطر السماوات والأرض. Means أغير الله الذي هو فاطر السماوات والأرض أتخذ وليا. Shall I take someone other than Allah who is the creator to be my guardian? If Allah is my creator and no one other than my creator and creator of the sky and the earth can have any impact on this world, so how I should choose someone else? وَهُوَ يُطْعِمْ وَلَا يُطْعَمْ. He feeds us and he doesn't need to be fed. You know, many times people had gods, idols, that they were offering some sacrifice for them. Some type of food, some type of, fruits, some type of gifts. But God doesn't need anything from you. Then, قُلْ أَنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَسْلَمْ وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Again, this ayah summarizes the whole point in religion. Tell them, I have been asked, I have been commanded to be the first to submit. If there is any competition, must be to compete with respect to submission. Who is the first? Who wants to be the first? Who wants to do the greatest job in submitting to God? This is the only competition we should have. We want to be more truthful. We want to be more submissive. قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَسْلَمْ وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And don't be one of the polytheists. Perhaps means that I am also asked not to be one of the mushrikeen, because it doesn't say وَلَا تَكُونُنَّ, it says وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ, so it's because it's singular, so perhaps it's for the Prophet. But it can also be that the Prophet is telling one person as a kind of representative for all. I have to be submissive to God and I have to be not mushrik. We had this concept before about Prophet Ibrahim, that he was Hanif and Muslim and وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. These are again two sides of the same coin. Submission to God is one side, not to be mushrik is another side. Because anyone who is mushrik, he is not submissive to God. Anyone who is submissive to God, he is not associating anyone to God. قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَسْلَمْ وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. So, as you see in these three verses from Surah Al Imran, Surah Nisa, and Surah An'am, again Islam is used in the sense of submission to God. And Islam is not the name for the religion which was introduced by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam only. It's not a religion which came 14 centuries ago. Islam is an attitude towards life, an attitude towards the whole concept of truth, an attitude towards God. And the first person who well formulated this is Ibrahim. Of course, even before Ibrahim, other prophets, you know, had this quality. But Ibrahim alayhi salam formulated this, articulated this, exhibited this in his life and teachings better than any previous prophet. And this is why he is the father and champion of Tawheed. He's the founder of this. And so much reference is given to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And also Ibrahim is perhaps one of the very last common points between all these three religions. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They share Adam, they share Nuh, they share many prophets before Ibrahim. But then after Prophet Ibrahim, then there is a split. Because Jews and Christians have more affinity towards Prophet Ya'qub and Ishaq, which is one line, and Muslims have more affinity towards Ismail or Ishmael. Prophet Ibrahim is a very important common figure for all these three religions. So this path, this route, this line that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam articulated, not introduced it for the first time, but he articulated and developed it very clearly, is Islam. And every person who is submissive to God, who is submissive to truth, and tries to be muhsin, to be benefactor, he is on this path. There can be differences, but as long as he's on the path, he's very close to Ibrahim, he's a follower of Ibrahim, then it's a matter of always trying to be better and better, to understand the best, the most detailed, the most up-to-date version. But the main thing is to have that quality. If you have that quality, you will always try to improve. If you don't have that quality, then you have missed the core of the message of all the prophets. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam and all the great prophets. May Allah enable us to be with Muhammad and Ali Muhammad in dunya and akhirah. May Allah enable us to understand the Quran and share the beautiful teachings of the Quran with everyone who is interested in the world. May Allah enable us to be always on the right path. May Allah keep us and our children, our youths, always away from anything which is bad and dislike. May Allah protect our families and communities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif and make him happy with us. May Allah give healing and shifa to all the brothers and sisters who are ill and everyone who is ill. May Allah inshallah send his unlimited mercy to all who have passed away, especially those who have rights upon us, our teachers, our parents, our ulama, our martyrs. And may Allah make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.